So here we are, working through our little series, That Time of Year. And that time of year has become a time of year for many of worrying and waiting and a whole load of other things too. But this morning, very simply, I want us to think about this time of year as being that time of year for wondering. Wondering. Do you like to wonder? I was reading about a little girl this week. Some of you may have read it. It was in one of the newspapers. And she went into the kitchen and she asked her mum, "Mum, how long is it until Christmas?" And mum said, "Well, it's about 4 weeks away." And the mum said to the little girl, "Why is it you want to know?" She said, "Well, I want to know if it's near enough yet for me to start behaving well." Well, that's one of the things to wonder about, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I'm often left wondering about things. I wonder where I left my car keys. I wonder why I put weight on just looking at the menu. You know? I wonder how come that when I get up in the morning and I look into the bathroom mirror, I see a reflection of my own father. And he's been gone 20 years. I wonder why. I wonder when. I wonder who. I'm not Wonder Woman. But clearly I'm Wonder Man. And I've got no special power. I've just got a strange pondering. And yet today we're going to be wondering about the birth of the only person who at the very moment they were born was as old as their father and older than their mother. That's worth wondering about, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, born of a virgin, and come to give us much to wonder at and to be wondering about. Pretty much like Mary in our reading this morning, who, given the news that she will be with child without ever having been with a man, asks in the circumstances, not the unreasonable question, how will this be? It's a good question to ask, isn't it? I would be wondering about that myself. But have you ever been wondering about that kind of thing? How's it going to be? How will this be? That unexpected bill that's now due. And we're left wondering, how will this be paid for? You ever been there? You ever wondered at that? That sudden sickness which arrives and leaves us wondering, how will this be dealt with? That difficult decision that we must take that has us wondering, how will this be handled? Or that loss of a job, or that loss of support, or even that loss of a loved one that keeps us wondering, how will this be overcome? Yeah, folks, such things happen, and they can happen at any time of year. But isn't it true to say that at this time of year, when things like that happen, they seem to be more biting than at any other time of year? And what I'm going to say to you this morning will not minimize the size of the problem that we may have or the question that we may want to ask that goes alongside it. But when we bring God into the equation, and we can and we must bring God into the equation, then what it does do is to allow us to maximize the source of our supply. Because he is up for any need that we've got, and any problem that we face, and any miracle that we're asking him for. You know, with God, mission impossible becomes mission possible the moment we hand it over to him. Not because he takes us out of it, but he promises to be with us in it and to carry us through it. And that's a great thing for us to discover. You know, remember, Jesus was born in a way and for a reason that would leave many of us wondering now, as it left many of them wondering then. But Jesus himself died wondering, asking, why? Why, my God, have you forsaken me? Not because he didn't know, but because he wanted us to know that as Emmanuel, God with us in the flesh, he was willing to be fully identified with us, to take the blame for us, and to give us the gift that none of us truly deserves. So here is what Mary discovered in all that she's being asked to take on board in her own life on that very first Christmas. And I think it's something that I hope we can all take to heart this morning and bring it as our thought to treasure. And it's simply this, although there's something else to wonder about. Somebody sent me this through, actually. I don't know if you can see it. It says, this old man's looking over a can there on the kitchen table, and he's saying, Alexa, play a little Mozart. And then the wife's calling through from the living room, Alexa is in the living room, you're talking to the tuna fish can. It leaves you wondering, doesn't it, at times. Now look, when you're wondering, whatever you're wondering about, this is what I want you to really take to heart this morning. And it certainly gives you something to wonder. When we are to be found wondering about God, God is right there in our wondering. Okay? Now that'll keep you confused for the rest of the time, won't it? Think about it. When we are to be found wondering, and we're all to be found wondering at this time of the year for one reason or another, I want you to know this morning, whatever you're wondering about, God is right there in your wondering. And he's going to bring a wonder out of it. Joseph found himself wondering what to do in finding out that his fiancée was pregnant and knowing that he wasn't the dad. Hey? The shepherds, given the news that Jesus had been born, set out to find him, wondering whether it would be just as the angel had told them it would be. Simeon, given the promise that he wouldn't die before seeing Jesus, lived wondering when that day would actually arrive. And the Magi, following his star, must have found themselves wondering where it would eventually lead them to, because it took them up to 2 years to arrive at where Jesus had been born and where the shepherds had seen him on that first Christmas night. So today, I just want us to focus very briefly on Mary and her wondering, and wondering what God said to her through the angel that can help and encourage us. Why Mary? Well, Mary's the only person that was present both at the birth of Christ and at the crucifixion of Christ. You ever wonder about that? Mary, the woman who saw Jesus come into this world as her son and leave the world as her savior. You ever wonder about that? Or perhaps more down to earth, Mary, after whom more little girls are still named today than any other woman that has ever lived. I mean, that's worth wondering about, isn't it? And just in case, if you believe, as I believe, that God is to be found right there in our wondering, just as he was with Mary, then the first thing that we've got to do is understand the mystery that is there to look beyond. The mystery to look beyond. I mean, the message the angel delivered was clear as crystal. Okay, it's up there for you. You will be with child, and you will give birth to a son. There's the message, there's the promise. Couldn't be clearer. The mystery, though, that Mary found herself wondering about was equally as clear. Verse 34, how will this be, since I am a virgin? I mean, it's no wonder Paul would later write to young Timothy and declare the truth. Great is the mystery of godliness. Mary will soon enough find out in her own wondering that the virgin birth does not depend on our understanding of it to be true. Isn't that good news for us this morning? Vance Havner said, I don't understand electricity. I don't understand electricity. But I'm not going to sit around in the dark until I do. Folks, there are things that we can experience that we don't understand. But simply because we don't understand it doesn't mean to say we shouldn't experience it. There are lots of things I don't understand, but I still experience. I mean, children for one. Do you understand them? But I experience them. You know, my son, when he was younger, he could go to a fridge that was full of food and then declare to me, there's nothing to eat. I don't understand that. My daughter could go to a wardrobe full of clothes and then come to me and say, I've got nothing to wear. I don't understand that. But I experienced it often enough, let me tell you. Well, look, Mary didn't deny or doubt what God was telling her. No. She simply was wondering how it would be. And this is the mystery, folks, that she had to look beyond. The mystery of the how to the who. The mystery of the process to the promise. The mystery of the moment to the master. You know, I don't doubt, and I certainly do not deny, the inerrancy and the infallibility of God's word. I believe it with all my heart, and I'm never going to stand in judgment on it. I try and bring the word of God and let it stand in judgment upon me. But knowing that, declaring that, does not stop me wondering just how its unchanging truth continually applies to my ever-changing life. Do you ever wonder that? I don't doubt or deny either what Jesus said about building his church. He promised that he would. I've got to be honest with you. There are many times when I am wondering just how on earth he's going to do it here. Don't you? But into that wondering, God is right there. That's what excites me about it. I don't need to know the how. I've got the promise of who. And even if he doesn't allow me to see the when, I know that in his good time, it is going to happen. God doesn't let us in on the how of everything, but thank God he does let us in on the truth of it. Amen? Amen. I can't explain to you this morning the mystery of the virgin birth, but I can look beyond it to the reason for it. And that's what the most exciting thing is. Because as the angel said to Mary in verse 37, why we should believe it, nothing is impossible with God. Amen. I mean, that's so easy to say, isn't it? Do we wonder about it? Look beyond the mystery of the virgin birth to the Maker who gave birth to all life. Because when you do that, it's not a great difficulty to jump from that to the fact that God can do anything. Nothing's too hard for God. Nothing's beyond him. And you know, the God who's got all the power of the universe at his disposal, because he made the universe in the first place, he can do whatever he chooses. Yeah? And the thing that staggers me here is that to God, he can do one thing as easily as he could do anything. Nothing is harder for God to do than anything else. You ever thought about that? You ever wondered at that? He does everything with the same amount of ease. I don't. And I bet you don't either. We have degrees of difficulty in almost everything that we do. My dear wife, she's never once come to me and asked for my help for her to take a tissue from a box. But I can't count the number of times she's come to me and said, can you get the lid off this jar of this? Or can you get the top off this bottle of this? And of course I step in because that's a degree too difficult for her. I take it off. Of course she loosened it. We understand that she loosened it. But do you see what I'm saying? For us, we've got degrees of difficulty. Nothing is too hard for God. No one thing is more harder for him to do than the other. Nothing. I can turn a corner in a car as easily as you like. But turning a bit of wood on a lathe, no chance. There are degrees of difficulty. And you and I this morning are here to look beyond the mystery of what we don't understand to the God who makes all things possible and steps into our situation and wants us to know, what's the need? I've got it covered. What's the sin? It can be forgiven. What's the hope? It can be realized. What's the point? It can be fulfilled. Job said it, I know that you can do all things. Jeremiah prayed, nothing is too hard for you. Sarah had to learn the lesson that you don't laugh at God when he declares this truth, because God said to Abraham when he'd given them the news that she was going to have a child of promise when she was nearer my mum's age than my daughter's. And God said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm that old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is it? Have you ever wondered about that? Jesus himself echoed the truth in his own ministry when he was discussing how to get people into heaven. And he said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of God. With man, this is impossible. But here's the good news. With God, all things are possible. Amen. So if you're rich here this morning, you can get the glory. Okay? Not because you're rich, but because the God who is came into this world to take on our poverty, that you and I, through his poverty, might find our richness of salvation and our richness of fullness of life and hope and peace in him who gave it up for us. I don't know what the mystery is that has you mystified this morning. All I'm saying is this. Look beyond it to God and trust him, because nothing is too hard for him. And as I say, once you've done that, understand that in your wandering, that's where God wants to meet you. Right here, right now. If you look beyond what you're struggling with to what he wants to help you with. Now, if you can do that, whatever you're confronted by, and you discover, as Mary discovers, that he delivers on his promise, no matter how impossible your situation is, no matter how virgin-like it appears to you to be, this is just not going to take place. Well, it will take place if we end up doing next what Mary had to do and got to do. Look at the miracle. The miracle that is there to look at. Okay? The mystery is there to look beyond. The miracle is there to look at. Look at what it says. Again, you will be with child. It's a promise, but God always delivers. And when God says it, it's as good as done. Okay? You can take it as read and give birth to a son. Now, Mary at this point was still living in the promise of it, because it was 9 months further down the line. After God the Holy Spirit had come and done his work in her life, the miracle of her child would one day be right there in that manger for her to look at. And you can read that in the next chapter of Luke. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. But until that, till she actually saw the miracle of God's grace displayed and manifested perfectly in that little baby that we call Jesus, God gave her the encouragement, even in her day, to look at the other miracle that was working alongside. Look at Elizabeth. Here's a woman that's been barren all of her life, and now she's 6 months pregnant with the one who's going to announce Jesus to the world, John the Baptist. Isn't that great? Folks, there's always a miracle there if you can open your eyes and see it. And God wants you to look at it and be encouraged by it. One of the great joys of praying for Jane on Thursday. You know, that we look to God to do something, and it will give us the miracle to look at. Look around the church this morning, and the top and the bottom, the lives that God has changed. They're not changed because they come to church or Shirley Baptist. They're not changed because they like a particular song, or they happen to get on well with the pastor, or they don't happen to get on well with the pastor. They're changed because of the grace of God. And there's no greater miracle than the miracle of new birth, brought about because of the miracle of that birth all those years ago. I tell you, isn't it wonderful? See the miracle of grace. I tell you, outside of Jesus Christ, the closest that some of us ever came to perfection was when we filled in our CV or job application. Don't you think? Well, we don't have to pretend we're Jesus. He sees us at our very worst. And he comes to give us God's very best. Amen. The reason Mary is looking beyond the mystery of such a great impossibility of her giving birth when she's still a virgin, that she would actually one day have this miracle of her firstborn son to look at. How was that going to be available to her? How was she going to look at it? I'll tell you why. Because she said to the angel, in obedience to what she'd heard, "May it be to me as you have said." That's why the miracle happened. If you want God to do the impossible, it starts with a yes. Mary said, "May it be to me as you have said." He's going to bring forth out of this virgin the very Savior of the world. But that impossibility became a reality because here is a woman putting herself under the authority of God's word and saying, "Lord, if that's the way you tell me it's going to be, I'm open to it. I'm available to it. I'm obedient to it." Could it possibly be that some of us live outside of the very miracles that we long to see happen, some of the blessing that we crave for, simply because we haven't got that spirit of humility? We're not living in obedience to God's word. We know the way he tells us to go, and we go the other way. And then when it doesn't work out for us, and we become a consequence of our own poor mistakes and wrong decisions, we blame him for it. No. The impossibility of what God wants to do starts with a yes. And some of us need to be saying yes to the Lord this morning. How will anyone else know the miracle of new birth that's available to them in Jesus if I don't share the miracle of his birth and his death and his resurrection with them? How are they going to know? How can this church grow and expand its service into the local community as a witness for Christ if I let everybody else do it? How can I expect the miracle of answered prayer if I never turn up to pray? How can I be on the receiving end of good staffing and good support if I don't give cheerfully and generously to the work of the Lord? How can I look for others to love me if I hold a grudge against them? The impossibility of what God can turn around in my life and in your life begins with a yes. Lord, if you've said it, I amen it. If you want it, I get in line behind it. Because you're never going to ask me to do anything that is not for my good and is not for your glory. Are you looking for a miracle to turn up? Well, have you said yes? You said yes. The miracle did turn up, didn't it, in Jesus? It's wonderful, isn't it? That's what we're here for, isn't it? If the miracle had never turned up, we wouldn't be here this morning. That's true, isn't it? We wouldn't be here. But the miracle turned up, and people say to me, well, he was a good man, but that's about as far as it goes. The argument of Jesus' day is the argument of today. Whose son is he? It's what it comes down to. Whose son is he? It's what the Pharisees challenged him with. Jesus said, well, look at the miracle in effect. You call me the son of David. Yeah, I'm down his line, but I'm the son of God. If you doubt that, look at his walk. Look at his walk. He never put a foot wrong. You think anybody but God could never put a foot wrong? I mean, my wife loves me, bless her heart, but if I asked her to come up and share a few things about me that were far from right, that would take us through to next Christmas. And she loves me. But neither the foes nor the friends of Jesus could point out one thing in his life that was wrong, because though he was tempted in every way, like we are, he was without sin. Look at the miracle. You think he was less than God? He was never less than God. His divinity was never subtracted from him. It was humanity that was added to him. Look at his work. A miracle. Could he have done these things that he did if he wasn't God? Could he? This is the Jesus who had power over death. This is the Jesus who had power over disease. This is the Jesus who had power over depravity. It's not a sin he can't forgive. That's why the psalmist said, bless the Lord, all my souls. Forget not all of his benefits, because he forgives our iniquities. Isn't that marvelous? I mean, honestly, folks, if that doesn't give you something to wonder at, you know, I'm wondering about that. And look at his worship. He accepted the praise and the worship of people. Who but God could do that? That's the worst blasphemy of all, isn't it? If you're less than the God that you should worship with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. You're not a good man. You're a terrible man. Unless you're the God man. Amen? Look at the miracle. Look beyond the mystery. To the God who makes it possible. Look at the miracle. To the God who's come to us. And then as we close this morning. it's good to get to the close, isn't it? Look to. If I can bring it up. It's not coming up. There it is. Look to at the message to look for. Because this is crucial as well. As it's declared here to Mary. And you are to give him the name Jesus. Now, when you're wondering about God, and God meets you in that wondering, here's the point at which it all comes down to. The message to look for, and the message to look for is in the name, Jesus. That's the message. It's not simply that a baby was born in Bethlehem, but Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And with his name gives us the reason why he came. That the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. Our God, as we're going to sing in a moment, our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. Jesus, Savior. Not Superman. Not Superman. You know, when I was growing up, I loved Superman, didn't you? You know, not Christopher Reeve one, the television version. You know, the one who was faster than a speeding train. You know, the one that you could look up and see, is it a bird, is it a plane? No, it's Superman, you know? I mean, I used to wear myself out trying to get up off the ground to be Superman, you know? Jesus wasn't Superman. Superman put on a disguise. He put on his glasses. Nobody knew it was him. Wonderful disguise, isn't it? By the way, this is Sean talking. Just put me glasses. You know, he puts on his glasses and he thinks he can mask who he is. He's Superman. He wasn't from the earth. Jesus wasn't Superman. Jesus was our Savior. He came to take on human flesh. No pretense. No hiding. No mask. No disguise. He took on human flesh and became the Savior that you and I cannot live without. Isn't that? That's the message. That's the message to look for. Not that we give each other gifts, but actually in the way we give each other gifts, we remember God's greatest gift to us in Jesus, our Savior. Isn't it marvelous? Isn't it marvelous? Let me finish with this. I know when I first came here, I think I told some of you, but well, if you remember it, all well and good. But I remember one of the stories that I heard as a boy, you know, of Roger Bolter. Roger Bolter, who lived 200 years ago, a wealthy landowner, turned up one Christmas, just before Christmas, he turned up in a market in Colchester. And as he got there, the clock began to strike. It was midday. And so he counted them off. You know, even when you're an older man, you love to count off the clock, don't you? Especially when you're in a market square. 1, 2, went up to 12, didn't stop at 12, went to 13. Roger Bolter thought, that's unusual. Maybe I counted wrong. But he looked at the guy next to him, and the guy was looking back at him. He said, did we get it wrong, or did it strike 13? They said it struck 13. Well, Roger Bolter, like Samuel Pepys, kept a diary, and he wrote it down in his diary. Well, a few months later, he woke up one morning, and he just felt compelled. You know, he just had this compulsion. He needs to go to York. He gets up, gets on his horse. He goes off to York. And when he's in York, there's a whole fuss going on because there's a man on trial for his life. He's been accused of murder. So Bolter goes in to the courtroom, and being a man of wealth and of standing, you know, he's given a seat in top position, and he's able to hear the whole trial. And when the judge pronounces the death sentence on this man, the man stands up and he says, look, there's no way I can prove this, but I know that on the day I'm supposed to have killed the man you said I killed, I was in Colchester standing next to a man, and together we heard the clock strike 13. If only that man was here now, he could tell you the truth. Roger Bolter stood up. This is a true story. He stood up. He said, I am that man. And he gave testimony. And the guy was left go and free on the evidence of Bolter's testimony. And straight after they got out of the court, that man went up to Bolter. He said, you're the only man in the whole world that could have saved me today. Folks, the message of Christmas. Once you've looked past the mystery, once you've looked to the miracle, the message of Christmas is only one man, the God-man, who came into this world to be born as a baby, to grow up to be a man, to die on the cross, to take the punishment that your sins and my sins deserved, to take all of that for you and me and rise from the dead with that receipt for goods paid in his nail-pierced hands. And he's the only man ever who can save you, and he can save me. Why not give him your yes this morning? There's a little booklet at the back that I've brought, about 50 of them there. It's called The Gift. If you want to know more about the gift that brings life in all of its fullness, Jesus Christ, take a book there at the back. It's called The Gift. Just take it away and read it. Because if you're wondering this morning, how does life all fit together? Does God have a plan for my life? Is he as loving as I'm told that he is? If you're wondering all about that, remember what I say. Here's the thing. Okay, let's just put it up. When you're found wondering, oh, I pray that God is right there in the wondering with you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you speak to our hearts. We don't always understand what you're saying, but we look beyond the mystery to it, to the truth of it, to see the miracle that's been born because of it, and to receive the message that brings life and hope through it. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, you know every heart here. We can't pretend when it comes to you. I just pray, Lord, that you, who through your Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and brought about the birth of the Christ child all those years ago, might overshadow us now in the power of your Holy Spirit and bring about new birth, new life, new hope, new purpose, new beginning for everyone here, because I pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.